Matthew 14, we're going to read from this scene this morning, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, and what I believe to be kind of the central theme, verse, words of this scene on the water right here. I don't know, I'm kind of an Apple guy. I don't know, PC Apple, you know, the battles. Steve Jobs actually banned PowerPoints. So if you use PowerPoint, you were fired. So I'm pretty minimal with the PowerPoints. So let's use our imaginations, right? Step into the scene, step onto the water, step into the boat as we listen to this scene from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly," a lot can be said about this scene, and there are books about it. I don't know if you've ever heard of this book, John Ortberg, "If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat." You know, picture's worth a thousand words sometimes, right? Yeah. Where are you? Where are you at in your journey of faith? Where are you at in your encounter with Jesus and his invitation to you? This book actually was influential in my life. I mean, I had read the story, read the scripture, but this one image, it did communicate a thousand words, and it sat on my shelf, and it was a reminder to me, kind of a convicting reminder that I'm invited to step out in faith and in trust. One of the challenges, one of the tasks that we have to do when we encounter Jesus on the water and we hear his invitation to take courage, "It is I, don't be afraid." We hear that word, "take courage." He doesn't say, "take comfort." He says, "take courage. Have strength. Get up. Move toward me." But the boat, right? The boat. The boat's a powerful magnet, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but I mean, I've reflected on this scene. One of the pictures, the metaphors that have come into my mind is the metaphor of a fortress. A fortress. Have you ever built a fortress in your life that insulates you and protects you from that invitation that Jesus calls to us with, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Fortresses are pretty cool. You know, I think this is a Lord of the Rings thing. Fortresses. Imposing. Stay away from me. I'm hidden. I'm safe in my fortress. You know, a lot of times fortresses have a dark hue to them, ominous, but there are trickier fortresses. They're bright, white, glorious. Maybe the glory of the light of God is maybe shining on our fortress. And maybe we think, you know what, I'm a solid church attender. I was raised in a strong Christian home. I have done this or done that. In the next chapter, Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is having a conversation with some religious guys who, I get a sense that they were thinking they were this. They were strong. They were God people. God's light was shining upon them. Were they following Jesus? No, they were resisting Jesus, weren't they? They were safe in their cocoon and in their shell of religious performance and keeping their hands clean. They and clean on the outside. But Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. They were hollow, empty on the inside, trusting in things other than the one, other than Jesus. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Step out. Step into me. No. No, I'm safe in my space. Fortresses keep us protected from a lot of things, don't they? What's your fortress? What are your fortresses that keep you safe? Yeah, we think they keep us safe. They keep us safe from scary things, right? Fear. Fear is the biggest fortress that we construct, right? Fear can keep us safe, right? It kind of keeps us safe in its arms. Coddles us like a little baby, our fear, right? And it protects us. But it also protects us from amazing things, right? It protects us from awesome stuff. It protects us from experiencing what God has for us. In the case of the religious elite, the Jewish leaders, it protected them from experiencing the true God, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. It kept them trusting in their tradition and in their ancestors. What is your fortress? Safe place, protected. But what did Peter do? He stepped, didn't he? He stepped. Why did he step? Because he recognized the voice. They thought it was a ghost. They thought they had, you know, the UFO thing going, right? They were, are we in Area 51? No, I mean, they thought it was a go. But then they heard a voice. And, you know, hey, that voice sounds familiar. They had just heard that same voice a day or two before. And it was the voice that received 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus. There were thousands of people who were clamoring to get close to Jesus, to listen to Jesus, and then they got hungry because the day got away from them, so they were hungry. So Jesus sent his disciples to go and get some food for the thousands of people that were there. And so they came back with 5 loaves, 2 fish for thousands of people. And so what did Jesus do? Jesus took them and he used his voice. He looked up to heaven and he thanked God for what had been provided. And then they commenced to supply thousands of people with as much bread and fish as they wanted. They recognized that voice. Peter recognized that voice. And so what's the most important statement here? Lord, if it's you. That's the heart of the matter, isn't it? Lord, if it's you, then tell me to do something that's absolutely insane and scientifically impossible. And Peter wasn't a scientist, right? But he had definitely made some observations. When you step onto water, you go under. But if it's you, Peter was calling upon Jesus to temporarily override the natural order. And so, first thing we can do is identify our fortress, identify our fears, identify those places that we hide, and then step. And why can we step? Because of our strength? Because of our giftedness? No. No. They knew their inability. What did they say when they came to Jesus with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish for thousands of people? They said, "Here, Jesus, we only have." That's what they said. They said, "Look what we found. Let's feed them, Jesus." No, they said, "We only have." That's a statement of kind of sheepishness, right? I mean, Jesus, you sent us out to do this, and this is all we brought. This is all we've got. We only have. They entrusted their need into the hands of our need, into the hands of Jesus. And say, "Lord, if it's you, I entrust my need into your hands. You are the one who can temporarily override, or permanently override, the natural order. My natural order is broken, sinfulness, frailness, dustiness. Lord, I need your grace. I need your salvation, your mercy. I don't have it. I have a need." So in our salvation, we throw that need upon the source, upon our Savior, and in our service. Salvation transforms us, and then we want to step. Maybe that's where you are at in this progression. Maybe you're following Jesus. You've thrown your need for forgiveness and mercy and grace, and you've seen God do that transformative work in your life. Now, maybe you're at you know, another place where I really want to serve my neighbor here, or I really want to obey you in this, but I only have, I need. We can't do it, but we cry out to Jesus, Lord, if it's you. Kind of a Psalm 29 proclamation, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Lord, I ascribe to you. I need the draw of your fortress, that place of protection, and step, crying out, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And he does. He does. And he is faithful. Kind of a little bit what we're doing right now, stepping out into the water. I don't have a job. That's pretty dumb, isn't it? Right? And so, you know, every Saturday, for quite a few years now, every Saturday, I move toward God on Saturday, and I've used the top of the hour as my trigger. You know, the number, semicolon, 00. Every time I look at the clock on a Saturday and see 00, I go and find God. I do like the disciple, I get on my knees. I find a place to get on my knees and I seek God and petition God for his peace, his power, his word, you know? Well, last Sunday, you know, Last Saturday, I wasn't preparing for Sunday, and I was in that space of like, God, what are you, oh, God, oh, what's going on, yeah? And every now and then, you just kind of look at the clock. I wasn't seeking God last Saturday to fall on my knees and petition him. I wasn't even thinking about it, but every time I looked at the clock, it was the top of the hour. For real. Like, not once. Not twice. After three, you're like, maybe I should play the lottery today. No, not three times, not four times. I think it was like six times. I mean, I just like standing over my modular synthesizer, twiddling knobs and like getting some cool sounds out. Totally randomly just turn and look at the clock. 6 o'clock. Whoa! 6 o'clock. How is this? Okay. God, you're talking to me. Get out of the room. What are you saying? It's every Saturday, at the top of the hour, I'm after you. What are you saying to me? Oh. You're after me. I'm not leaving you. I'm after you. Don't forget that. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. God's after you, right? God is after you. God will not leave you nor forsake you. God is inviting you to resist fortresses, to resist fears, and to step forward in faith. And you can with confidence because it's him. Because it's him. And he overrides the natural order. He overrides our disorder, our flailings, our failings, and he is faithful. He's faithful. We're going to pray for a dear sister, Ashley Van Summeren, who's doing that very thing. She has stepped out in obedience to the nudge of the Spirit to go to Africa to serve people there who have needs. And so I would like to invite the prayer team our prayer warriors to come up, and we are all going to stretch out a hand and lay hands on Ashley. So we'd like to excitement around Ashley's travels. And so Ashley heads out on Tuesday to go to Africa. If you really want to come up, you totally can. Lord God, we give you thanks for being right now living and active. Like your word says your word is. Your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets into our being, between our joints and our marrow. You call us. You call us to walk in step with your word, to step out in the power of your spirit, and we thank you for Ashley Van Someren. We thank you for the word and the work that you have placed upon her heart, upon her path, and that she has identified any fortresses, any fears going on, and she has looked into your face and said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Here she is. We know, Lord, you're going to reach out. You're going to grab her and hold her, carry her and sustain her in this work that you have prepared in advance for her to do. We praise you. We give you thanks. We her and through the team that she is a part of, we pray for your blessing upon her, your hand of grace, of joy, of power. And we ascribe to you, Lord, strength. May she experience your strength in this journey, in this work. Lord, you know each one of us. You know where we are at in our boats. We pray that you would meet us in those places. We pray that we would recognize your voice. Your sheep recognize your voice. And your sheep move toward you, and you reach out and you embrace, you grab, you save, you hold, you lead. And so wherever we are at in that, we pray our weakness. In Jesus' name, amen.